Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And did we ever have a great time last night at a great place, La Primavera. Great to see the Penn State Club out in full force last night. And we had a blast. Great to see Sean Carey out there. Great to see Kevin out there. Barty, no show, and was noted.
By the way, you owe me $5.
For what?
Somebody took you up on your offer.
To what?
Signed autograph, and you get $5.
Oh, somebody wanted your autograph.
Yeah, you owe me $5.
It's worth it. You know? Oh, wait a minute. I have an email from the guy. You spelled your name wrong.
It just looks that way.
Yeah, that sounds cruel. But we had a great time last night. A great time. A lot of laughs at the table. I know you had a lot of laughs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a great... Yeah, that was entertaining. And, you know, a lot of questions about what we expected to hear questions about. Everybody wants to know where the situation is with the quarterbacks.
Sure.
And understandably so.
Yeah, I understand that. That's fine. Fine by me. It's all part of the show, and also had the, for me, the personal pleasure of meeting Rick Weibel last night. And Rick, first-class individual. I mean, you want to talk about a class guy. It was great to see him last night, and today's show is sponsored by our great friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484, or visit online at rewfinancial.com. I tell you, we just had an absolute blast last night.
I just liked hanging out with you. That was just the highlight of my week already.
Yeah, what a
I don't have much going on. So
sad existence that is. Well, that's fine. That's Dick Girardi will be on the show tomorrow. I could add him to whatever time. So he's in.
Great, because I need updates on who the favorites are and where I need to go, and more importantly, how to bet the Oaks.
Oh, brother. How to bet the Oaks.
Well, that's the one that everybody overlooks.
This is not your personal treasure trove here, my man.
Hey, any way you can make a buck, all right? What do you always tell me? It's all about the paper.
It's all about the paper in the end, but you remember, you are gambling paper in order to somehow procure paper. Once again, in my junk email, I have received...
There's a surprise.
A memo from Kevin.
Memo? Wow, I've been upgraded to memo.
Let's see here. Additional comments on Seau and Saints. Fujita and Hargrove suspension, does that hurt the Browns and the Packers? Saints, how do they recover from this offseason, or will they? Suggs Achilles, will Bartlett recover?
No. She sent me a text this morning. That was the first thing out of the gate. I get a text this morning from Sarah telling me about the mishap, if you will.
Well, yes, I know.
I think it was... that she's going to beat up Terrell Suggs now for playing basketball in the offseason.
Yes. Well, he says it was from conditioning.
Yeah, right.
And basketball. He also put down here, Bodemeister being the Derby favorite.
4-1 right now, the Bob Baffert horse.
Well, that's one of the two horses Dick likes. The other one is Union Rags. 2 no-nos early in the year. How rare is that? Not two.
All right, well, we'll address that.
FBS championship, should it be league champions or go by the polls?
See, that's something you talked about last night, and
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, it popped into my head today. I thought that would be a good conversation.
Has O'Brien made a quarterback decision in his mind, as reports are saying? Well, if he told them he's made up his mind in his head, then
No, he hasn't said outright who it is, but certain things he says kind of leads people to believe, or have led people to assume, he's already made up the decision or made up his mind.
Well, he's had all this evaluation time, and he's looked at the tapes of everything. So, who knows? I mean, I would think he'd be pretty close to making up his mind. Yeah, I would think he would be getting close. If not, already has it. Let's see. Oh, I also got an email from Pat Fagan at Learfield. First and foremost, thank you for agreeing to join us at this year's Corporate Partners Lunch.
Was he in the junk email, too?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that explains it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Speaking. Coaches who will attend and should be introduced include blah, 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 blah. Okay.
I'm glad you could take this time to clean out your email.
Well, I have to, because, I mean, it's the only chance I get during the course of the day.
Great.
Let's see.
I got a Facebook answer to one of our poll question. Rich says that he's not really sure how they determined the amount of guilt when they were talking about punishment for the Saints players. Mm-hmm. And he said if they were involved, they should have gotten the same suspensions. So good. Did the amount of guilt, was it determined how guilty you were, I guess, to how many games you got suspended?
I'm also getting the script here in my junk mail for the, I am the Big Ten Network this year, just so you know.
Uh-huh.
They do something different every year, you know, greatest coaches, greatest players, you know, icons. Journey for football. They have picked out eight teams, the eight greatest teams in the history of the Big Ten. And they picked the 1986 Nittany Lion football team, even though they weren't in the Big Ten at the time. And I have been selected to narrate it. So,
are you going to do your best John Facenda?
No, I'm just going to be me. Don't need to do somebody else. I just need to be me. How about that? How about that approach to this job?
That's a novel idea.
No, I mean, that's just want to make sure you know. Okay, but again, let's get back to the Kevin topics, and let's just burn these out one by one. We got an extra 5 or 6 minutes here. Let's see.
Great. Go ahead.
Did you work hard on these? Or
No, I didn't. Okay, good. Spend more than an hour looking things up, but good. That's okay.
Good. Girardi, by the way, is on tomorrow's show. We'll talk about the Kentucky Oaks, and for the uninitiated, the Kentucky Derby.
And by the way, speaking of yesterday's show, we were talking a little bit about the, you know, the rumors of concussions and being tied in to some of these player suicides recently. Monday, we will have Dr. John Furrier from Sun Orthopedic joining us on the program.
Love it.
Not only talk about the issue from the pro level, and he has some experience as being from the pro level, but also talk about the youth level and something we've talked about for the last couple of months in youth concussions.
I've done a lot of interviews on the subject, so I'm anxious to talk with him and run some questions by him that I've used in the past that will get to at least the bottom of some of this. Okay? So I'm looking forward to that very, very much. The quarterback situation, look, he's gone through tapes. He's seen them every day. When you go into camp, I don't know if you look at the three of them and say, okay, let's just say how the opening 10-day goes, and then we're going to cut down to two. Or if you just go in with two and tell the other guy, hey, look, you're the third guy, simple as that. Now, I have a feeling in my own gut who the two are. Okay, that's in my own gut, but I'd rather have him. It's his decision, not mine. And we'll go from there. But I would think he has a pretty – look, I think he has a pretty good idea now who his top 50 guys are. His top 50 guys. And maybe expand that out to 60. Because, look, he's used to working in the NFL, 53 guys. That's what he's used to. And, of course, as a coordinator, he's used to having the ball. So I would think he has a good idea of not just that, Kevin, but I think he has a good idea of who his top 50 are and probably as it expanded out as to who his top 60 happen to be. I think he has a very good idea of where that is.
How much of that was decided from the spring practice and how much, how much did spring practice weigh in on that and how much did film weigh in on that?
Oh, I think spring practice weighed in tremendously on that. I would guess that spring practice weighed in 90% for him, if not more. You know, he had 15 personalized looks. How often have I talked, when I talk about a team or I talk about a player, and then I emphasize that I've seen the player in person?
Oh, many times I've heard you say
that. And that's because that's what means everything. What you see, you know, you get a better judge for speed. You get a better judge for instincts. You get a better judge for their feel for the game when you see them in person as opposed to seeing them on television. So I would think that the vast majority of his evaluations have been in that meeting room. Remember, I think people forget the meeting room is critical, too. In the meeting room, you are asking questions. You are making points. They are asking questions. And when they ask questions, is it a good question? Is it the right question? And then when you answer the question, does it then translate to the field? Do they understand what you told them in the meeting room? So that's where his evaluation is coming from. Very, very much it's now coming from any tape he may have seen or not seen along the way. Well, let's see.
Explain this to me. Sporting News comes out with its Big Ten coaches list.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world do you come up with a coaches list and put Bill O'Brien anywhere when he hasn't really coached a game yet, let alone just stick him at 8?
Oh, who do they have at one? Wisconsin, Bielema or Urban?
Urban. Urban Meyer topped the list.
Mm-hmm.
Bielema's second, followed by, let's see, looks like
D'Antonio.
I was going to say D'Antonio from Michigan State, Hoke, Ferentz. And Ferentz, yeah.
Okay.
He fell in line between Pat Fitzgerald and Jerry Kill.
Okay.
Now, how do you determine where Bill O'Brien's going to fit in the Big Ten when he hasn't actually coached a game as a head coach? That's what I want to know.
But again, this is the off season. People are making lists all the time. Okay, they make lists all the time. You know, who do you think is the top this and the top that? I've always phrased things, you know, he's among the best, among the better ones. Look, I don't care that Bill O'Brien is ranked by Sporting News 8th today. I don't care.
I doubt he will either.
Right, I don't care at all. Right, 5 years from now, I can tell you right now, he isn't going to be 8th. He is not going to be 8th. You can tell that some people have it. He has it. It doesn't take long to be around him and say to yourself, he's the real deal. It's simple as that. I think he'll recruit well. I know he'll coach well. I know he'll game plan well. And it's been interesting, the questions he's been getting on the caravan. On the caravan, when he meets with reporters from outside the area, the questions are about the scandal. Then he gets in the room and talks to the fans and takes questions from the fans. They're all about football. So,
I don't know. Have you had a chance to talk with him, his reaction so far on this tour?
No, I will see Bill Monday.
I was going to say it'll be next week. I know you're going to be with him, but that'll be one of the things.
I'll see him Monday and I'll see him Thursday. I just say it as a public service announcement to mentally prepare him.
I just wonder what his reaction has been like to the fan base and what he thinks.
Oh, he's having a blast. Oh, no. The people, he's having a blast. No, he enjoys that part. Now, they're off today, I think, and then they don't get back to it until next week. Yeah, I know he's The irony is, as I'm speaking in his hometown of Boston on Saturday, he's speaking in my hometown of Hartford on Thursday. Something not quite right here.
Are you going to meet somewhere in the middle? Is that what's
No. I'll be back Sunday. I can tell you that right now. I'll be back Sunday. And of course, graduation is set for Saturday here, which probably means I should need to enter grades for kids. I better do that tonight.
Here's a thought. Grade the final exam.
Well, no, I have been waiting because the reason is I have a student in my class who had an appendectomy, and I've been waiting for her to pass in her final project because I extended the deadline for her.
Wait. Can you share what the final project is? What was your final project assignment?
The final project assignment was a resume tape.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yep. And you are the easiest professor in the university. I heard the rumor, but I didn't think it was true.
No. Let's see. What other comments does Kevin want me to make comments on? Two no-nos early this year. How rare.
Yes.
Every year is different. Sometimes you have what, one, two no-hitters in a year, and sometimes you have 5 to 8. It's just the pitcher that night, that circumstance, or that afternoon, that circumstance, and you get it done. I mean, you notice Humber's next start, when he went against the Red Sox, they pounded the daylights out of him. Now, Weaver's been the ace of the Angels staff all year. He's 4-0 now after his victory last night. And the Kentucky Derby favorite is the Baffert horse. Now, I'm going to guess the number two choice is Union Rags.
Let me just check. Go ahead and continue on, and I will check because I think that may have just changed recently, but I'll find out.
I'm surprised you don't already know.
Because I like the Baffert horses, quite frankly.
And the Baffert horses speak highly of you.
I'm sure.
Our number 1-800-795-9565. And I want to talk a little bit about this Ravens situation. And also a little bit more on the Saints. You mentioned Fujita and Hargrove's suspension. That it hurt the Browns and Packers. Yeah, of course it does. You know, but again, there's risk with any player. Okay? For the Ravens, they don't have Suggs. He has nothing to do with the Saints suspension at all, but they don't have him.
I think that might be a bigger loss.
I'm saying, though, but that's my point, though. That's the risk you take in signing somebody or having them on your team. Something may happen. And it just turned out they're suspended. Now, you don't think the Packers and Browns didn't know that they were among those being investigated in the Saints thing? They still signed him anyway. They didn't lose them for the entire season. They'll get Hargrove back. He may be, if he keeps himself in shape, fresh for the stretch run. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Back with more after this.
I'd like to.
Let me give you a hint as to what horse not to bet on.
Okay.
Any horse named Alpo's Choice. Our number 1-800-795-9565.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
What?
The only thing would have been worse if you would have said called Glue Factory.
I'm just telling you. Don't bet on any horse named Alpo's Choice.
Probably a good idea, though.
And Elmer's Thrill.
Elmer's Thrill. I once had a video race, a horse racing game. It was literally a videotape.
This can't be happening to me.
And one of the horses was truly named Glue Factory in there. It was one of those board games that you could throw the videotape in and play along with the screen. And Glue Factory was one of the names. So. It actually won one or two times.
It's a board game.
I realize that.
It's a board game.
I know that.
Third Nittany Lion basketball recruit, Donovan Jack, has officially signed his letter of intent to play basketball at Penn State. 6'9" out of Reading. Only 205 pounds. He'll have to, obviously, the weight room will be important to DJ, but Donovan Jack's a big pickup for Penn State. He had originally signed with Duquesne, but then when Ron Everhart was fired, Jim Ferry came in as the new coach, and he released all the recruits, gave them the option of being released. He took that, and is now signed with Penn State. Faces up, shoots the ball well, can play around the basket. A very positive get for Penn State. This goes with Brandon Taylor, the 6'8 forward they got out of New Jersey. And Akosa Madugan out of Dorchester Heights in Massachusetts, who had verbal back in July last year. And, of course, DJ Newbill. They have one more available. We'll leave it at that. I think you fans know who we're talking about. Sarah Bartlett in the news, moments away on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Indiana and Kentucky will not be playing basketball for the first time in 40 years.
Why?
IU Athletics Department. So the Hoosiers will not sign a new contract to play Kentucky in men's basketball next season in light of their insistence that the matchup be moved to off-campus sites. While we understand that such neutral site games could be quite lucrative, we think the series should be continued as home and home, Indiana Athletic Director Fred Glass said. Playing on campus enables our students to attend these marquee games, which we believe is a great component of the overall college experience. Playing in historic venues like Assembly Hall and Rupp are also a tremendous experience for our student athletes. There was a rush to spin, obviously, on both sides. Kentucky fans, Indiana basically is afraid to play the Wildcats outside of Assembly Hall. Hoosier fans say Kentucky's afraid to come to Bloomington after suffering a one-point loss. Who's to blame? Both parties.
So let's find a neutral site.
Well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this neutral site stuff. You know what?
No, I mean, I don't agree.
I could see for tournaments.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like, you know, when you go to the Maui Invitational, you go to the Puerto Rico tournament like Penn State's going to be going to. You know, Cancun, the Great Alaska Shootout doesn't exist anymore. But those types of tournaments, I mean, where you have 18 fields and so forth, now those are terrific. But you're playing one-on-one against somebody. Play them home and home at your place and at their place. Because, again, believe me, going to Rupp will be good for these guys. I mean, really, believe me, it'll be good for them. You know, taking a place and splitting the deck, and that doesn't light me up too much. And I mean, I don't know what they consider to be a neutral site, Louisville.
Really?
That would be entertaining.
Sure, let's go. Let's go play at the KFC Yum Center. Terrific.
Well, you know what popped into my head when you said that, though, was football. Penn State did that a couple of years ago playing in D.C., but there's a fan base there.
You're talking about what?
No, I was talking about football, you know, moving a football game to...
That was Indiana's thing. That was
right.
That had nothing
no,
to
I
do
know.
With Penn State.
I know, mean, but there's a fan base for Penn State there, too.
Right. Yeah, but Indiana did it for $3 million.
Oh, that's right. There was a lot of money involved.
Okay, I mean, out of nowhere, you take your home game and you move it to Washington, D.C. from Bloomington, Indiana? I mean, you're not doing it because everybody wants to go see the Lincoln Memorial. So, that's the reason that they moved it.
I was being sarcastic. I knew it was for the money.
Yes, three bills in the end. So, they're stopping that series. Now, as for the Saints, they're in recovery mode today. But obviously, based on their free agent signings, and they signed a couple of linebackers, by the way, they knew something was going to happen somewhere. So, And by the way, the Penn State Northwestern football game, which is the homecoming game October 6th, will be a noon kickoff, by the way. Noon kickoff. Anything that gets you home early.
Well, it won't matter to me.
And where are you that day?
What day is that?
It's a Saturday.
No,
our number 1-800-795-9565 is our number. All right, let's see. Sporting news. Number one coach, Urban Meyer. 2011, did not coach. There's no way to look at this man's credentials and put him anywhere other than the top spot. No matter, he's never won a Big Ten game, nor that he ended poorly at Florida before sitting out 2011. Two national titles, 7-1 bowl record, a 12-0 Fiesta Bowl winning season at Utah, 17 victories in 2 years of Bowling Green, quote, ridiculous. Number two, Brett Bielema, head coach at Wisconsin. First to tell you he's really good. Has been there another time in history, a Big Ten coach coming out back-to-back Rose Bowls would have been clearly the deserving number one choice. Not having a resume that compares to Meyer's isn't Bielema's only flaw. His late-game coaching came into question on multiple occasions last season. It's called clock management. And his bowl record, unimpressive at 2-4. Still, Bielema has taken what Barry Oliver has built and made it even stronger. Three, Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State. D'Antonio's 11-2 season 2010, during which he was confronted by a frightening health crisis, represents one of the great coaching performances of the 2000s. His 2011 Spartans, who likewise won 11 games, were even better. Brady Hoke's Michigan program may have more upside, but D'Antonio is the best coach in the state right now. Four, Brady Hoke. Kind of hard to believe that Hoke was a sub-500 coach before Michigan, but he slowly built Ball State into a prime MAC team, then turned San Diego State around more quickly. His first season in Ann Arbor was a mind-blower. It seems that Hoke has improved throughout the first decade of his career and that he's exactly the right guy for the right time of the Wolverines. Five, Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. Ferentz will win his 100th game at Iowa this season, but a first-place finish in the Legends division seems out of the question. That's where Ferentz is right now, in a nutshell. He's very respected based on a fine 13-year body of work at Iowa, but he's no longer one of the very best, if he ever was. Six, Bo Pelini of Nebraska. Husker fans are not satisfied with Pelini's results, four consecutive four-loss seasons. Nor should they be. But Pelini has won 9 games twice and 10 games twice, and his 5-3 debut in the Big Ten was more good than bad. Perhaps more slowly than anticipated, Pelini is receiving top-quality defensive players in Lincoln. If quarterback Taylor Martinez is a better player in 2012, as Pelini swear he is, the Huskers could be back in the BCS mix at last. Number seven, Pat Fitzgerald. We certainly admire Fitzgerald. The coaching fraternity does as well. More than a few FBS coaches tell us that Fitzgerald is among the more underrated guys in the business. He recruits hard, preaches all the right things, and fears no one. At 37, he has lots of time to get even better. Number eight, Bill O'Brien. This ranking represents a bit of a leap of faith.
Oh, come on. That's harsh.
I'm just reading what
it
says.
I know you are.
This rating is a bit of a leap of faith. O'Brien on our part. He's never been a head coach, so sue him. But he rose from a position coach to offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech and later did the same under Bill Belichick. O'Brien's a hard worker who doesn't need or want it to be about him. That's the perfect disposition for Penn State right now. Number nine, Jerry Kill. America doesn't know about Jerry Kill. Most fans outside the Big Ten might recall him as the coach who had a seizure on the sideline last September. But he's had a terrific career. He built Southern Illinois into an FCS power and improved Northern Illinois dramatically. A fellow Big Ten coach calls Kill the most underrated coach in college football, citing his toughness, recruiting, and player relations. Number 10, Tim Beckman of Illinois. Beckman rose through the ranks as a defensive coach, serving as coordinator at both Bowling Green and Oklahoma State. Given that background, how does his stint at Toledo, where the Rockets generally excelled on offense but often withered on defense, look now? Still, those 7-1 MAC records in both the past two seasons hold Beckman in pretty good stead. Number 11, Danny Hope of Purdue. If we were assembling a fantasy coaching staff, we just might peg Hope to run our offensive line. We can't help but wonder if Hope is better suited for that role than he is leading an entire program at this level. There's been tough luck for Hope in West Lafayette, especially with injuries to key players on offense. In light of that, his 2011 performance was very solid. Number 12, Kevin Wilson, Indiana. Maybe if his relationship with the Keel family was healthier, we'd sense some real progress in Bloomington. But a winless Big Ten season is what it is, the bottom of the barrel.
You know, you follow that up, it also says they give trendings. He's listed as trending down. You're already in the bottom, how do you trend down?
Well, Urban Meyer trending down. Bielema, up. D'Antonio, up. Hoke, up. Ferentz, down. Pelini, flat. Fitzgerald, down. O'Brien, flat. Kill, flat. Beckman, flat. And Hope, flat. And Wilson down. Those are the trends.
But you're already 12. Where are you going to go?
Well, you know, if they expand, you go further down the list.
Maybe.
I mean, so these lists are interesting for us to bring up in conversation. They mean absolutely nothing. I'm very happy with what Penn State has. No issues from this guy, I can tell you that. I watched this guy out there work, and they're going to be just great with him. I have no issue with that. No issue. Meanwhile, Doc Holliday, away from the team today, personal reasons, blew a 6-0 lead in Atlanta. Say he's healthy, but left the team because of a family issue.
He pulled out Wednesday night with a small suitcase, but was healthy himself.
Well, sometimes things come up.
Well, yeah, but would we be worried about most pitchers in Major League Baseball if they had just a bad outing and 12 hits and 8 earned runs? I mean, but no, because it's Holliday, it's panic mode. Because that just doesn't happen.
Well, I don't think I want, you know, I don't want to know about his family issue.
Right.
Now let's get to the Suggs Achilles. This is huge. I mean, I give Sarah Bartlett a lot of credit. She has sounded very professional all day, despite personal pain she must be going through right now.
It's visible.
He claims he'll be back by midseason.
Yeah, right.
No, you won't.
Ryan Howard.
You won't be back by midseason. Your season is done. You are officially gone. Now, I feel badly for him, but that is a huge loss. Ray Lewis gets the ink. Suggs has been the better defensive player the last couple of years. Now, Ed Reed is, I think, in a class by himself. And the reason I put him in a class by himself over even Troy Polamalu is that Reed shows up for work every week. But this is a huge blow for the Baltimore Ravens. A huge blow. Whatever the reason happened to be, he says working out. Original report said playing basketball. I mean, he vows he's going to be back. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. Not with this injury. I mean, he tore it. Now, I guess he partially tore it, but he still tore it. And this is a brutal injury to come back from. Suggs told Rachel Nichols in a telephone interview that he injured himself practicing the conditioning test the Ravens make their players take. He was working out at his old high school in Chandler, Arizona. He said he started and stopped and felt something turn, so he called his trainer to get an exam. In an earlier text to ESPN, he said the injury happened Saturday. Must be the pain. Said he's not on crutches, but confirmed that he's having surgery next week. They say that he expects to recover from the injury in 4 to 6 months. The general length, though, to full activity, the average return for an NFL player is 11 months.
Well, Ryan Howard right now in baseball is at 6 months, and he's still not back.
Yeah, he had a setback, though, along the way.
True, but yeah, I mean, that's not unlikely, though.
Right. Suggs, who turns 30 in October, says he's been stunned at reports that he will miss the season.
Really? I'm shocked.
Well, in the past two seasons, this guy's had 25 sacks. He is fifth in the NFL the last two seasons in sacks. DeMarcus Ware is 35. Jared Allen of the Vikings is 33. Jason Babin is 30.5. Tom Bahali with the Chiefs has 26.5. Suggs has 25. I mean, this guy also 4-7 fumbles at 2 picks. This is a... Okay. Look. Even if it is 4 to 6 months, how effective is he going to be? I can't picture it. Now, at least the Ravens drafted Courtney Upshaw from Alabama. But he's expected to replace Jarrett Johnson, who signed with San Diego. Something tells me Michael McAdoo starting on the outside, not inspiring the Baltimore fans. Our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you. We'll come back with more after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
What a great time we had at La Primavera last night. I don't want to tell you, the food is outstanding. I had a great time and a great meal there last night. Enjoyed it very much. And I know you enjoyed your meals as well.
No, there was only one. But yes, well, I did. There was only one meal. No need to make it plural. And I did.
It was also great to meet Rick Weibel last night. Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. You want to work with somebody who really cares about what your needs happen to be and does it with enthusiasm? Rick's the guy to talk to. Let's go to Dave in Sunbury. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, Steve.
Well, how's life in the Dave world?
Okay, how's it over Steve's world?
No, it's all right. We're doing great. We're having a great time today.
Well, first of all, about that, you know, it's about Suggs. Mm-hmm. My name came to mind. I was talking to my brother about it, about how he'd be back in such a, you know, period of time.
Yep.
You know, I thought of Blair Thomas with the way he tried to, you know, expedite matters and how it wound up with that limp that he has now because of trying to double up the catch-up kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just,
well, the one guy I know that defied all the odds and came back earlier from an injury that is supposedly a devastating injury is Rod Woodson. And somehow he played in Super Bowl 30, and he never should have played in Super Bowl 30 with an ACL.
Yeah, well, I just... Yeah, well, I said, you know, I just when I hear that about Suggs about it being back so fast, about just Blair Thomas leaped to mind.
Okay.
How he said, but also, I was seeing in a little the fan in the Patriot, they call in.
Right.
And remember about the Stoudemire with that glass deal?
Yes.
They had it marked that the guy called in saying about that it was at Madison Square Garden. I said, no, that was down in the America Air Arena down in Miami.
Yes, it was.
I said, you know, they were saying about, this guy was saying about a lawsuit. I said, well, he wasn't even there.
No. Yeah, can't sue Madison Square Garden over that one.
But then I also said, well, Steve must have found his way to Primavera.
I found my way to La Primavera, and I want to tell you, it was a first-class meal. I tell you right now, I'm going to go back to that place just to have a meal in that atmosphere again.
Yeah, and you didn't need Kevin's GPS thing and all that.
No, he didn't. And Kevin's directions took me someplplace near Milton. So
you're lucky you were that close. I was trying to get you in a different state.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounded like when he was giving up the directions.
All I know is I sat down on the table. I told a couple of jokes, and suddenly out of nowhere, that it, so he said something about it ended his night. Don't know what that meant.
Okay. Yeah, then I'll let you go.
Yeah, Dave, we have a hard break here at the top of the hour we need to get to, and we shall do it. Thank you, my friend. What did that mean last night? You just kind of shut down for a period of time.
Well, you know, not to mention that I had note cards in my pocket just in case you were late. You know, I was ready to get things rolling there for you, but that's all right. You were on time.
More than on time. I told you, hour and 10 minutes. I got there in an hour and 10. A little bit less, hour 8.
Hour and 13 on my watch, but not that
did
we
well.
Were keeping close.
Did well. Oh, I mean, I had to go, you know, I didn't leave here that second. For some reason, Bartlett bagged us last night.
She had a better dinner date than the two of us.
And we had Sean Carey. Like Sean a lot. Just had a different feel to it.
Wasn't the same.
No. Well, CBS News at the top of the hour, then our queen.